space through the afternoon and feel like He's directed us to get back into these veins of thought that the Lord has given us to get started this year. I want to continue the thought on who are you of? Who are you of? If you want to stand with me, we'll read some verses and try to give you some thoughts as the Lord has directed us this evening. We'll lay out some groundwork that we've already laid and get everybody caught up to speed, and then we'll be preaching primarily this evening when we get there from 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. Let's begin reading in John 8 verse number 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. Verse 23 is a very, very important verse in light of the context of these verses. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. You can be seated. Let's pray one more time and we'll get right into this thought. Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, we come to you. Lord, we're a little weary in mind and in body, but we are mindful, Lord, of the help that you send us by the Holy Ghost. And I pray tonight, he, the Spirit of the Lord, would strengthen us and, Lord, cause us, Lord, to preach beyond our own abilities and beyond, Lord, ourselves. And Lord, may we preach tonight in demonstration of spirit and of power. Lord, we know that doesn't come from a style. Lord, it's not in how loud we could preach or, Lord, what mannerisms we would use. Father, I pray whatever atmosphere you set, and Lord, whatever, Lord, way you direct, Lord, I just pray that there would be a power, Lord, that comes beyond ourself, and Lord, rests upon us. Lord, we didn't come tonight to be some great orator. We didn't come tonight, Lord, to be some great teacher. Lord, we come tonight, Lord, to give to the people of God, and Lord, even sinners, it may be have gathered in among us and are listening tonight, Lord, that they would hear the voice of God speaking through us, Lord, and through your word. I pray this evening great things would be accomplished. Encourage the saint of God, and Lord, convict the sinner, and Lord, do a great work in everything that you do. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Jesus said plainly in verse number 21 that they, the Pharisees and the sinners that are here, that they shall die, ye shall die in your sins. Jesus, enlarging upon that thought in verse number 23, tells them the reason that this is so. The reason is that it has everything to do with who they are of and where they are from. Jesus looks at these sinners and says, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. With that thought in mind, we begun this thought of asking the question, who are you of? And that has everything to do, that question has everything to do with your eternity. It has everything to do with the way you and I live our life in this world, whether or not we are of this world or whether we are from beneath. Or, my friend, whether we've been saved, and it can be said of our life, we ourselves are from above,
and that we in Christ are not of this world. Now, we looked at John 18:36, where Jesus testified of his self and of his kingdom when he looked at Pilate and said, "My kingdom is not of this world." What Christ was saying is, and in essence he deals with it in that verse, is that he didn't come to start some physical war, but rather he came that a spiritual kingdom might be established, a kingdom that is not of this world, a kingdom that is not after that of flesh and of blood and of bones, but rather a kingdom that, my friend, is not of this world, something beyond what can be seen with the physical eyes, something that goes beyond what the world could ever comprehend. And my friend, Christ, in this kingdom that he said is not of this world, it began not by him ascending to some great power, but rather by the laying down of his life at Calvary, establishing this spiritual kingdom. And so Christ says of his kingdom, "My kingdom is not of this world." He said, "If it were of this world, then would my servants pick up their swords and fight." But we're not fighting tonight a physical war. We are a part of a kingdom that is not of this world. Now Jesus, speaking along and even in prayer to the Heavenly Father in John 17, verses 14 through 16, Jesus began to pray and he said, "Father, I've given them thy word." And he said there in verse number, let me get it right, John 17, verse 14, "I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And so the Lord is speaking of his earthly disciples. They had been converted and born again into this kingdom that Christ had testified. And Christ said it was by the power of the word that changed their life. Now they're no longer of the world that they once loved and that loved them as their own now hates them because they are not of the world. There's been a change made in their life. And even as Christ was not of this world, so you and I who are saved are not of this world. Now, my friend, in our conversion and our salvation and our new birth, Christ does not take us out of the world, but rather he has prayed. And while we are in this world and among those who are of this world, that there would be a divine guidance and protection upon our life, that the evil, my friend, would be kept off of our life. Jesus, my friend, says again there in verse 16, amen, about this thought, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And so he asked and answered the question, how is it? And folk who are born being in and of this world and its system, being a part of the evil, being a part of the problem, being a part of the straying and the rebellion that, my friend, this world system has against God, how is it that we go from being of the world to no longer being of the world? Jesus said, as we quoted from and read from and preached from in John 15, 19, "If ye were of the world would love his own." And that's where we were. But he said, "But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." And so we looked at the change and transformation in our life and who we are of as children of God. We're no longer of the world. Because the word had been given to us somewhere along the way, we received the word, and in doing so, Christ has chosen us unto himself, placed us in him, and now it is said, as Christ said of himself, "I am from above and I am not of this world." So you and I, my friend, positionally in Christ can say, "I am from above and I am not of this world." And I'm thankful tonight for the fact that Christ, when the word was given to me, and that gift of faith and repentance was extended to me, I exercised those gifts and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing so, Christ received me into His kingdom. And thank God for that change that is made. And so we're asking the question, who are you of? Have you experienced that conversion? Have you ever had a time in your life when that change was made by and through the power of Christ and His gospel? Amen. I'm glad I can say tonight, amen, I can say tonight to the world, not in condescension and not with a Pharisaical spirit, but I can look at them and say, amen, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. And we understand tonight, amen, we understand tonight that only Christ and Christ alone, amen, can produce such a drastic change in a sinner's life. Ain't you glad tonight that you know that? Amen, you're not of this world, and that in not being of this world, you are of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, so this thing of salvation, amen, must be experienced in our life. Amen, you cannot live in and of the world and reject Christ and expect, my friend, for things to go well. And that's what Jesus was teaching in John 8, "Ye shall die in your sins." So long as ye are of the world, Jesus said, amen, later in John 8, ye are the servants of sin, and that ye are of your father the devil. And so Jesus said, you got a problem this coming, and you don't see it now in your religious ways, in your self-righteousness, and in your merit-mongering, you have believe that it's going to end well. But Jesus said it ain't going to end well. Amen. Ye are of this world. It doesn't matter if you had Abraham to your father. The fact of the matter is, if you are of the world, then, my friend, you are the servant of sin, and you are of your father the devil. And Jesus said to them sinners of John 8, that's why you do the things you do. You're simply fulfilling the lust of your father. And you do the rebellion. You live in rebellion. You live away from God. You live your life with no regard for spiritual affairs and the kingdom of God, because you are of this world and its system. Amen. But again, we would say tonight, thank God for the change that Jesus can make. Amen. You may have walked in tonight, or you may have tuned in or be watching tonight. Amen. Someone who is of the world, but I got good news that, amen, Jesus can turn all of that around. And Jesus can save your life. And Jesus, amen, can take you out of the kingdom of darkness and translate you into His glorious kingdom of light. Amen. And you can tonight pillow your head, amen, here in a little while, saying, I know who I'm of. Amen. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He's able. I'm glad tonight to report to you, you don't have to be of the world tonight. Amen. If there's a longing in your heart and a thirst in your soul, amen, friend, Jesus wants you more than you want Him. Amen. And if you'll listen to the word tonight, and you'll listen to the gospel, and you'll believe on the gospel tonight, amen, repenting of your sin, Christ said, I have chosen you. Amen. And in choosing you, I choose you out of this world. Amen. Oh, that don't mean everything's going to go well in your life. Amen. There'll be people turn on you. There'll be people who hate you. There'll be people, my friend, that, amen, will not love you because you are not of them anymore. Amen. But I'd rather be a child of God tonight than anything I know. Amen. I'm glad tonight I know who I am of. Amen. We're asking the question, who are you of? Amen. Now that's towards sinners tonight. Amen. But John the Beloved, who penned the gospel record and message that Christ gave throughout his earthly ministry that John focused in on, about my kingdom is not of this world, my disciples are not of this world, ye are not of this world, amen, I've chosen you out of the world. And when he looked at sinners and said, you're from beneath, I'm from above, you're of this world, I'm not of this world, that so settled in John the Beloved's heart, and when John the Beloved began to write in this first epistle known to you and I, amen, simply as 1 John. And John is going to further that truth of who we are of, amen, and coming to the conclusion of a proper answer, amen, that would confirm that we're not of the world anymore, that he makes application to the saints of God. And so we're embarked upon this study here, who are you of? Amen. You'll remember last Sunday night quickly. Amen. We dealt with this is confirmed. Who we are of is confirmed by our relationship to the church. In chapter number 2 and in verses 18. Amen. Actually verses number 15 down through verse number 20. Amen. We found that John said to believers, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so John begins to send out a warning to you and I as the beloved, say, amen, watch your relationship to the world. Amen, I know you're in it, but you're no longer of it. And so don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if you do, it is evidence that the love of the Father does not dwell in you. Amen. He said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And reminds us that the world and all that is therein is simply going to pass away. My friend, you and I that have been saved, that my friend have entered into the will of the Father, amen, through salvation, him himself declaring, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen, we enter into his will that day we got saved, and from that day forward, amen, we are to do and to live in the will of God. We don't live according to the dictates of the world. Amen. We don't allow the lust in the flesh, and or we're not supposed to. Amen. The lust in the flesh and the lust in the eyes and the pride of life. Amen. To deter us from living for God. Amen. And so he begins to say in verse 18, 19, and 20, amen, that there is a disagreement with that John the Beloved is given in verses 15 through 17. And there is a spirit of Antichrist that dwells on some. And my friend, that come, and even now, he said, are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Amen, Antichrist just simply means that my friend, they, amen, are opposed to and in disagreement, amen, with Christ and his doctrine. And my friend, they are not of Christ, they are of the world. How do we know that? Amen, he said in verse number 19 that there is a departure. Amen, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Amen. John is dealing with the relationship we have to the church. Amen. In their disagreement, amen, they wind up leaving the assembly and they wind up departing from my friend, the faith and the way that the church promotes. And so what takes place is a departure. Amen. Why? Because John said they were not of us. Amen. They were not of us. They are like Demas. And Paul said, amen, have forsaken me, having loved this present world. And they leave because of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And in most cases, amen, they void their relationship to the church, amen, because of the pride of life. And my friend, all of that, John has already said, is of the world. And so who are they showing they are of? They are showing that they are more of the world than they are of Christ. Amen. How? Through their relationship to the church. Amen. But thank God we find in verse number 20, amen, not only a disagreement and a departure, but there is a dedication. Amen. For John encourages those who have remained steadfast by saying, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. In other words, there is a power upon your life, and that power is not of you, and it is not of this world, and it is not of flesh and blood and education and intellect, and it's not of experience, and it's not, my friend, of anything that you can tangibly point to and put your finger upon. Amen, but rather an unction and a power from the Holy One. Amen, if you are of the Holy One, you have a power upon you. Amen, that makes you and I dedicated to the church of the living God. How could we go back? How could we, amen, allow the spirit of Antichrist to dominate our life? How could we go out, amen, if we are of this? Amen, John the Beloved said, amen, of that crowd that departs. I didn't say it. John the Beloved said, amen, had they been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. And so, my friend, there's a dedication that, amen, arises in the heart of those who, amen, are of this way. We're not looking to get out. Amen, we're not looking for an easier path. Amen, we're not looking, my friend, for a more convenient Christianity or religion. But, my friend, we remain dedicated by, amen, the unction we have received from the Holy One. Amen. And so your relationship in man, amen, to the church reveals a lot about who we are of. Amen. A lot we could preach there, amen, and it'd get so mean, buddy, we wouldn't be able to stand it. I wouldn't be able to stand myself. Amen. And so I'll move on tonight. Amen. But chapter 4 really ain't any easier this evening. Look with me quickly in 1 John chapter number 4. And tonight we're going to confirm who we are of. Amen. Not only by our relationship to the church, but by our relationship to the truth. Our relationship to the truth. Amen. We are told tonight throughout the Word of God that the mercy and the truth, amen, of the Lord endures to all generations. Amen. We are told in the New Testament that, amen, in speaking of the difference in the New Covenant and the Old Covenant, is that the law came by Moses. Amen. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And that doesn't mean that the law of God is not truth. Amen. But there is a specific truth that, amen, comes only by, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, amen, by and through only Jesus Christ. Now, when we come to 1 John in chapter number 4, and we're interested in the first 6 verses quickly, these verses lay out the importance of those who are of God having a discernment for truth. You say, how do you know that? He says and begins, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are what? Of God. Is that what your King James Bible said? Amen. They are of God. Because why? Amen. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. He's going to say in the end of verse number 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby, listen this now, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And so he's dealing with a child of God's relationship to the truth. Is the truth important? You better believe the truth is important. Amen. I'm glad tonight that I know the truth. I'm glad tonight I have a relationship to the truth. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that simply means that without the truth and knowing the truth and hearing the truth and believing the truth and embracing the truth and receiving the truth and living in the truth of Jesus Christ, amen, you and I have no way to get to the Father. Amen. But oh, we have been saved by the truth. And my friend John the Beloved says, of the Beloved, he says, amen, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now in these verses, John calls upon the Beloved, amen, to be apprehensive about what they believe and to try the spirits whether they are of God. Amen. We're not to believe everything we hear. And we're not to believe everything we read. Amen. We're living in a confused generation tonight. Amen. If they read it on Google, they think it's true. Amen. If they watch it on YouTube, they think that it's surely true. Amen. But John the Beloved said, you better be apprehensive about what you embrace to be truth and to be error. Amen. Is that important tonight? You better believe it is. Amen. Because what you believe to be true, amen, has everything to do with the direction your life is headed in. And John the Beloved said, as children of God, as the Beloved, we are to be very apprehensive about what we embrace to be true. In other words, you better make good, clear, and sure, amen, that what you think is true is indeed true. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What does the word try? We're called upon here. Amen. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Amen. And so the word try, amen, simply means this, or has this in mind, and it is a metallurgist. Amen. You say, what is that? And I probably ain't even saying it right. Amen. Those who deal with metals. Amen. That work and evaluate metals. This is a metallurgist term used for evaluating metals to determine their purity and their value. And so as my friend, a metal worker, amen, would examine the metal that he's getting ready to work with, he's going to test it for purity. He's going to test that gold or that silver, amen, to place a value on it. And the value is going to be determined, amen, by how little dross is in there, amen, other elements that maybe have made their way into what maybe looks like gold or looks like silver. That worker of that metal can evaluate it and put it under a glass. And that friend there, he determines whether or not, amen, that is pure metal, that is worth anything, and places a value upon it. We as the church of the living God are to take the things that we hear, and that friend are to take the things that, amen, are bombarding us in this day. And that friend, we are to look at it through the microscope of the Word of God and determine, is it pure and is it valuable? Amen. It's amazing. Can I just put it in terms that, amen, we here in Cock County can understand tonight? Amen. It's amazing to me the junk people embrace to be truth. It's amazing, my friend, the impure things that people give themselves to, amen, and believe to be truth. My friend, we've not been called to embrace impurity. We've not been called to embrace things things that, amen, have no spiritual value. My friend, rather we entertain that we've heard and be apprehensive. Amen, just cause, amen, it's coming out of a preacher's mouth. Amen, just cause it's coming out of the mouth of somebody who says they belong to God don't mean that you ought to embrace it as truth. Amen, just because, amen, it's a good person or even somebody you've known a really, really, really long time. Amen, we are to try the spirits and find out, amen, if that we're hearing and that is trying to attach itself, amen, to our life and gain our affection and our devotion. Amen, John the Beloved said, amen, try those things whether they be of God. If they are of God, embrace it. If they're not of God, reject it. Amen, amen. I know this is different than this morning, but amen, you can't duplicate this morning. Amen, we got to have this tonight. Your relationship and mine, amen, the truth has a lot to determine and confirm about who we are of. In our discernment, we must acknowledge the work of the forces of dark spirits. Listen to me now. Amen, there are forces that are at work tonight. And John the Beloved said they're not few, but he said they are many. Amen, they're not few, they are many. And Brother A.L., what are they doing? They are working to seek to deceive and to divide and ultimately to destroy the work of God by crossing you and I up with the truth. Amen. These spirits of a demonic foe tonight. Yes, my friend, they use people, they use voices, they use even ministries, and they use people, amen, that maybe say a lot of the right and good things, but behind it is some error, and behind it is a work of the devil, amen, that seeks to, number one, deceive you and I, and then to divide you and I one from another. And then the ultimate goal, my friend, is a result, amen, of deception and division. And that is destruction. Amen. Oh, no wonder John the Beloved is saying, amen, be careful about your relationship to the truth. Amen. Are we doing okay tonight? Amen. Listen. Amen. This is the spirit of Antichrist that John again brings us back to. Amen. In this text and stage, amen, even now already is it in the world. It's working tonight. Have you even been conscious? Have you even been aware that every day of your Christian life, the spirit world wants to cross you up with truth? He don't have to get you in sin, he just has to get you crossed up with truth. I'm telling you, most people, don't get mad at me tonight, most people ain't got the sense of a billy goat spiritually to understand what is going on all around them. And it's no wonder, amen, they get crossed up in truth. They wind up in error. They wind up believing things that, my friend, they shouldn't believe, and making sides they should never make. And my friend, their lives will end in destruction. Amen. Because they do not have the mindset that all around me, every day, there is a spirit. Amen. There is a spirit of darkness that is seeking to drive me away from the truth. Amen. Verse 6 ends with, amen, hereby know we the spirit of truth. I would remind you, are y'all listening tonight? Amen. I said it's going to be quick. I'm almost done. I got, amen, 3 points I'll give to you and I'll be done in a minute. But you remember, and John is saying this, amen, nearly 2,000 years ago, Brother Jack. He's saying 2,000 years ago, amen, because many, amen, many false prophets have gone out. There have been many that's been led astray. There's been many that's been deceived. There's been many that has been divided. There have been many that have gone out and they're in the world because they did not maintain a relationship to the truth. Paul said to young Timothy, and in the latter times, men would depart from the faith. How? How do men depart from the faith? How do men get deceived? How do men get divided? How do people that sang among us, said, worshiped among us, said, and claimed number among us, how do they depart from the faith? Paul said, by giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They forgot that there was a spiritual attack upon the truth in their life. Somewhere along the way, they began to believe things that were not so. Your relationship to the truth as a child of God has a lot to say who we are of. And so John the Beloved, it gives you and I hope in this text. And what does he say? He concludes these opening 6 verses simply by saying, hereby know we the Spirit of truth. In other words, you do not have to be in error tonight. You do not have to believe a lie. You do not, my friend, have to get disjointed from the truth of the Word of God and truth. Amen. Of the gospel and the truth that is in Jesus Christ. Amen. You do not have to go the way of the world. You're not of the world. Hereby know we. Amen. There is something that we have that the world does not have. Amen. There's something we who are of God, amen, possess on the inside a discernment, amen, a way that we can evaluate, amen, what is truth and what is error. And John the 11 says, amen, hereby know we the Spirit of truth. How do we know it? It's a good question, ain't it? Let me give you 3 things quickly and I'm done right here out of the text. Number one, amen, we know it by the profession that distinguishes us in truth. John the Beloved said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. Hereby what? Know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. God. That's pretty simple, ain't it? Notice he reverses it now. In every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And so what he is basically saying, if I can bring it alive to us in this regard, amen, it is by our profession, it is by the profession that distinguishes us in the truth. Amen. What separates us from the world is our profession of faith in Christ Jesus, and how that profession differentiates us from a life of sin and worldliness. Amen. How are you going to know, amen, when somebody else is making a proper confession if you yourself have not made a profession in Christ? And my friend has separated you and made you different and has sanctified you in the truth. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, amen, the first step to not believing a lie and the first step to living a life in proper relationship to the truth is that, my friend, there must be be a time in your life where you make a profession that distinguishes your life, that you're no longer of this world. You no longer believe the lies of religion and the lies of sin and the lies of the devil and the lies of hell. Amen. About all that is going on, that you have embraced Christ and Christ alone, that you confess that, amen, He has come in the flesh, amen, that He is God, and He was man, and He came and He lived among us, He died a sinless life, and was buried, and thank God rose again on the third day, and ever liveth tonight, making intercession for our sin. Amen, I'm glad I made that profession. I'm glad there is a day in my life, amen, I quit hanging on to the life, and if I just hold on to daddy's coattails, I'll be okay. And I quit believing the lie. Amen. And because I had, amen, a mama that took me to church, I'd be all right. Amen. I quit believing the lie. Amen. And because of who I thought I was, it's going to be good enough. Amen. You say, once you began to believe, I began to believe that Jesus Christ came, amen, and laid down His life for my sin. And that He was the way and the only way that I'd ever be saved and get to heaven. And when I embraced that truth, amen, when I confessed and made my profession, amen, in Jesus Christ, amen, my life began to be distinguished in the truth. Amen. Can I say tonight, the reason a lot of folk don't have a right relationship with truth, they've never made a life changing profession in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What did Jesus say again in John chapter number 8 and verse number 32? He said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. You see, a profession is not, amen, a simple prayer that you pray and you get up and you go back out to the same bondage of sin. Amen. The confession of Christ is a life-changing confession. Amen. It is a confession and a profession in Him who alone can save, who alone can change your life. Amen. It is Him and Him alone in His truth. Amen. That sets men free from the bondage. Amen. Of judgment and condemnation, and the judgment that is to come in the life of worldliness and sin. Amen. And John the Beloved is saying, amen, you can have a right relationship to the truth. Amen. You can discern it. Amen. Whether one has come from the Spirit or one has come from the Antichrist, you can tell if you yourself have a profession that distinguishes you. Amen. Does that make any sense? Amen. I'm glad that I know the truth. Amen. Those who have made that life-changing confession of Jesus Christ to be their Lord and their Savior will have the ability to not be led away from the truth. Most people's discernment about what they embrace is an emotional one. The reason they have to do that, they don't have the goods on the inside. Amen. Amen. The profession that distinguishes us in the truth. Number two, this is a good point. Number two, in verse number 4, I see the person that directs us in truth. Watch this now. Are y'all still in the building? Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because, don't miss it now, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. In other words, here John comes back to the truth that he concluded chapter number 3 with, namely, that doctrine that teaches you and I of the ever-abiding presence of the Spirit of God in our life. Amen. He said in verse number 24 of chapter 3, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know him that he abideth in us. How? By the Spirit which he hath given us. Which he hath given us. You're saved. Amen. How do I know that I'm saved? Because the Holy Ghost lives on the inside. There is an ever-abiding presence of the Lord. Amen. Hereby we know. Amen. We know that we are of Him. We know that He abideth in us. Amen. How? By the witness of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That confirms that His presence is there. And so John the Beloved comes back to this. Amen. And says, ye are of God. Amen. You're of God, little children, have overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. John 14:16-17. Jesus speaking of the time of His ascension that was to come, His departure back to the Father, told His disciples, amen, I'm going away, but I'll not leave you comfortless. The Father shall send you another comforter. And in verse number 17, amen, He said, even the Spirit of truth. Even the Spirit of truth. And hey, amen, what did Jesus say? Amen, He said He is going to be with you, but He's not only going to be with you, He is going to be in you. John the Beloved comes back and says, you got the Holy Ghost on the inside. And in a world and a system of the world is filled with much error. My friend, even living our Christian life, the bombardments of spiritual warfare seeking to deceive us away from the truth. My friend John the Beloved says, amen, you have the Spirit of God on the inside. The Spirit of truth is there. Your comforter is there. There is a person. There is a person. Amen. That one of the Godhead of the Holy Ghost is directing you in truth. We make a statement tonight, the presence of the Holy Spirit is not for your emotional well-being. He ain't there to make you feel good. But He makes me feel good. Amen. There's peace and there's comfort that comes. Christ, in emphasizing in those last hours He had with His disciples in His earthly life, reminds them that the Holy Spirit is there for our spiritual direction and truth. You know I'm telling it right tonight. Who are you of? Listen to what Jesus said in John 16. He said, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. Whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. You got a person, if you're saved tonight and are of God and no longer of the world, you didn't have this before you were saved. You have the Spirit of God on the inside, guiding, directing, and leading you in truth. Amen. The Spirit of truth, John the Beloved says, that is in us is greater than those who proclaim falsehoods in the world. He's greater than the lies. He's greater than the deception. He's greater than the falling away. He's greater than the departure from the faith. Are you listening? Amen. Greater is He that is in you. The word greater means big, large, or strong. Amen. Can I tell you tonight that the Holy Ghost is bigger, He's larger, He's greater, He's stronger. Amen. In us than that is in the world. We make excuses for people. We make excuses for them. John the Beloved said, if you're saved, there is no excuse. The one in you is greater. And in light of Him being greater, He said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Overcome who? Overcome the spirits that are working through the mouthpieces of those who are of the world, the mouthpieces of those who speak and make and love and act. Amen. We have overcome them. Amen. How? By the power of the Holy Ghost. The word overcome means to subdue, to conquest. Amen. It deals with the means of success. Amen. You're not successful over the lies. You're not successful over the falsehoods. Amen. In your own ability and your own power. But if you've been saved, the Holy Ghost abideth ever on the inside as the Spirit of truth. He guides you in that. He warns us when there's a falsehood. Amen. Have you ever had a time? Amen. Maybe you heard something and on the inside. Amen. Somebody, maybe as a preacher. Amen. Maybe as somebody you come across on the radio. Amen. Maybe as some religious sounding person you work with. And they began to say something. And immediately when it came out of their mouth, there was something on the inside that said, that ain't right. You do well to try the spirits. Amen. What is that? That is the means of success in the Christian life concerning our relationship to the truth. Amen. Ain't you glad the Holy Ghost is in you? Could it be the reason so many embrace and believe lies and are deceived and divided and destroyed? They never had the one that's greater on the inside of them. Amen. Last of all, and I'm done, I don't know how it's going to end, but I noted this in verse 5 and 6, the preaching that disciples us in truth. Your relationship to the truth, it's involved in, amen, it has everything to do with the profession that distinguishes us in truth and the person that directs us in truth. God gave us preachers. And in the whole context of this text, John the Beloved is dealing with voices. He's dealing with those that are speaking, those that are preaching. Notice what he said in verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. They don't speak the word. They don't speak of the word. They speak of the world. It's been amazing how many people, since I've been saved, and especially when God called me to preach early on in my Christian life, and I thank God He's let me be a preacher and let me be a pastor, but I've always been amazed how many people began to go off into error and believe things that are not so. And you try to sit down and reason with them with the Word, and they cannot hear it. Brother Larry, if you listen to them long enough, all they can talk about, different issues or disagreements or things, is from a worldly standpoint. John the Beloved put his finger on what their problem is. They can only speak of the world, and they can only hear of the world because they are of the world. But notice what he said. He said in verse 6, ye are of God. This is not the case with you. Are y'all still with me? I'm almost done. I promise. Lord, have mercy. We are of God. He that knoweth God. Are y'all ready for this? This is strong now. He that knoweth God heareth us. That's strong. Now here's what people of our day is going to jump up and say. Preachers ain't perfect. Ain't no man going to tell me what to do. Ain't nobody going to lord over me. That ain't what John's talking about. John said your relationship to the truth has everything to do with how you hear us.
A real God called man of God is not a light thing in your life. Well, that's just him up there preaching and all. You better be careful. I didn't say it, man. If I'm out the book, Brother Jack, you come tell me what it means. It's got to mean something. If it don't mean this, you got to tell me what it means. John the Beloved said, people who know God hear us. John's not saying he's infallible. John is not saying he gets everything right. But what John is saying, there's something in everybody who is of God that, my friend, when they discern that they are sitting in the presence of a God-called man of God who is taking the Word of God and applying it to their life, they hear that man of God preach the Word of God. Amen. That word heareth is very, very interesting. It don't just mean to come and show up and sit there like a knot on a log. That word, I double dog dare you. I bet you won't do it. Go home, look it up. Now, if somebody tells me, I bet you won't do it, I'm going to go home and do it, praise God. I double dog dare you. You know what a double dog dare is? It means I done done it, I dare you do what I done. That word heareth, Betty, it means to hear with attention. It means you show up and you sit down and you take your place and you sit on the edge of your seat going, I need whatever God has for me today. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. It means this, to hear with, not only with attention, but it means to hear with an intent to obey. Yes, sir. Yeah. And I know the days we're living in, we're far from that. Far from that. But you know what preaching does? Preaching disciples you in the truth. God's got us kind of settling down, and I'm almost done. John here boldly proclaims his own relationship to the truth as a preacher of God's Word. May I add here, as a God-called preacher of God's Word, and the relationship others are to have to his preaching. Why y'all so quiet? You better be careful shrugging off what comes from this pulpit. Amen. It's amazed me for years how people do it. Can I tell you what it really boils down to? And I don't know that I've ever seen this till making this study. Really what John the Beloved is saying, they're really not of God. If you can sit down, when a God-called preacher can sit down and take you through the Scripture and show you this is the truth of the matter. And you say, I don't care about that. I don't see it that way. That ain't how I feel about it. What you're really revealing is who you're really of. Amen. Amen. Be careful, church, what you believe. It's always amazed me how people will side with and make allegiances to. Don't get mad at me. This is what God laid on my heart. I really don't have anything in mind. This is just nearly 20 years of pastoring experience. It's always amazed me how people will side with wicked people, side with doctrines that have come out of some of the most vile places and fight a God-called preacher who is trying to help them and lead them in truth. Blows me away even after 20 years. All I can say is your relationship to the truth deals with and has a lot to do with the preaching that is to disciple your life. I'll be honest, and I know I've said it. I am done. I'm quitting. Jesse, when I hear a man preaching, I know he's a God-called preacher. Now, if I don't believe he's a God-called preacher, I ain't going to sit under him. I ain't going to listen to him. If he's always preaching something and the Holy Ghost and the Word of God saying, that ain't true, that ain't true, that ain't true. I'm not preaching men of God are infallible. Listen, I ain't no pope. I ain't infallible. Amen. One characteristic about a God-called man of God, if you'll come to him, sit down, show him from the Word of God, maybe where he's got something messed up, he'll change. Now, I've done it, buddy. Amen. I don't always get it right. But if you're gonna straighten me out, Brother A.L., you're going to have to do it with the Word of God. Yeah. How many people began to believe lies over a preacher who's trying to preach to them and help them and lead them in the right way? Amen. I've done it long enough, been around it long enough to know it don't ever end well. Who are you of? Amen. Who are you of? Amen. How's your relationship to the truth? I hope it's right. I hope you're maintaining it. I hope you're walking in it. Amen. We'll deal with the next one sometime as the Lord leads, our relationship to the Savior, and it'll be a big help to us. Amen. To the church, to the truth, and to the Savior. Let's stand together.